going to be sort of kind of an either-or thing. So you kind of do what you want. So that'd be like what you're most proud of from Senate thus far, or what your top hope is for the rest of the year for Senate. So it's one of those two. So either like your proudest thing or your what your what your hope is for this for the rest of the semester. Hopefully, just by it'll be clear what you're answering just by like verb tense and that kind of thing. Other thing I want to comment on is that we had a resignation submitted to the entire student senate this week. It was kind of it didn't go through the typical channels, which is just to submit kind of privately to the administrative director. So I just wanted to open up that that's like valid, so we're accepting that as a resignation. Ethics committee has been charged to continue the re-election process for that that hall. And then if you have any questions or comments or concerns about that method or the issues that were brought up in that statement of resignation, feel free to bring them up in new business. Otherwise, we'll begin the recruitment process for a new senator whenever ethics is ready to go on that. With that, Mr. Director Gabbiano, please call the roll.
I might be a little biased, but the diversity, equity, inclusion bill, I'm kind of happy about.
Mine is the Fair Trade Campus that was passed. When I was home, my mom was like, that's so cool, do you know about it? And I was like, I helped pass it, so. yeah, it was really neat. I think we should do more stuff like that.
I'm also going to have to agree with the Fair Trade resolution. I really, really did enjoy that.
Just with like how open we've been this semester with like all other students on campus.
Senator Henderson.
I'm gonna keep repeating here that the Fair Trade is also.
Senator Gladish.
I'm really disappointed in how we've been doing our finance process and how blatantly we've been breaking the bylaws. And I really think that needs to change going into the spring budget process.
I'm really excited that there's a water fountain in North now. A lot of people wanted that.
The Fair Trade resolution, but then also like the diversity, equity, and inclusion bill, I think was really cool.
Senator Martinez.
I just kind of want us to work more on like, I guess like, getting the like word out there of like mental health and how important it is to like see a counselor if you need one and whatnot.
Senator Leonard J.
I would say the Fair Trade Act and the Gus Bus Minimum Stakes.
Senator Miller.
I would also say the Fair Trade, but also the Diversity and Equity Bill that we passed. I think both those were good.
Well, since I'm kind of new to this, I'm hoping that this next semester, yields this kind of, gain. That we'll be able to pass some things that will get as much attention as the Fair Trade thing on our diversity work or the Gus Bus on Wednesday. We're appealing to a lot of different crowds, and I think that's really cool.
Senator
Stoltz.
I really hope that this next semester we can get a lot more students feedback and a lot more people involved with Senate outside of Senate.
I like the whole tabling thing that we've been doing for office hours. I'm pumped to see what we can do in the future with that.
I was really excited to also see a lot of fun in this story.
I am very happy with what we've done thus far, but I'm also excited to look towards the future, what else we can do still. We've got a whole semester. On that note, I'm excited to see where we get with visitation hours. We'll get a resolution out of here and see some action by administration from that.
Again, free trade. Fair trade, I'm sorry. I'm on fair trade.
I think I'd like to see this coming semester more interaction on the floor between some of the fire senators. I know you have a lot to say, but it'd be nice if you could actually hear it.
Chair Swenson.
I'm proud of the diversity, equity,
Inclusion and Just Bus, and I'm looking forward to like kind of keeping on topic and really focusing our discussion on the floor.
Yeah,
I think being more in depth in the finance process is definitely, I'd like to hear some more discussion too among senators and bills are there. Budgets are being passed, especially if they're being compiled.
Charlie, you want something?
I really enjoyed how swiftly we responded with the solidarity resolution, and I'm looking forward to seeing if we can move that quickly and that thoroughly again with getting more voices from all the senators on the floors in the future.
I'm just really happy that you guys have just been so respectful to each other and just followed Robert's rules pretty well. So, everyone's just going to carry in charge.
So my biggest hope for this semester, echoing what Chair Schmitz and Senator Gladish have said, is that when we're discussing budgets, we really vocalize the intentionality of why we are funding or not funding certain budgets. I think that we all come in with our own preconceived notion on why Senate does or does not fund. I think it'd be awesome that in finance discussions we say that this is an excellent budget because it reaches a lot of students, or this, or you know, this, without judging the purpose of organizations, but to lay some things out on the floor on why we all feel the budgets should or should not be funded, just so that we can have some more transparency around why we work finance process the way we do. I think that our finance team has a really good understanding of those reasons, but we don't put it out on the floor as often as I would like to see us do.
More a general thing, because of everything that you've all mentioned, I've heard a lot of positive feedback from faculty, administration, students about Student Senate so far this year, and I really haven't heard a lot of negativity coming towards Student Senate, so I think that's been a really cool experience, and not that I think Senate's image is the most important thing in the world, and it'd be cool to keep improving on that.
And Mr. Director Gaviano?
I'm really proud of the fact that not only are you all thoughtful citizens, that you're, but you're also relatively above average in good, being good looking.
That, we have a very good looking quorum. Beginning the meeting, the first order of business is the approval of the minutes from February 8th. Are there any objections, corrections to the minutes from February 8th? Objections, corrections? Objections or corrections? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. That, we should move on to community comments. Is there anybody from the community which is a comment? Community comment, community comment, community comment. Seeing none, move on to finance. Are there any budgets this evening, Chair Schmitz? Seeing no budgets, we shall move on to committee updates. First committee update, Chair Swanson.
All right, so what we are working on right now, I have a comment. Issues throughout the semester that we will be like featured in or whatever, have a story in so that we can plan for those, so they'll be spread out throughout the semester. And then we'll have an email go out March 1st, April 1st, and May 1st with just monthly summaries of what we have done. And then we're also going to do in the display case in this hallway, just try to display all of the great work that we did this past semester, just kind of highlight that. And then what we're working on right now is apparel. So our first idea is a laptop sticker, or I guess you could put on your water bottle too, of the Senate seal. So that will be $1 to $2. So keep that in mind. If you want that, it'll be like about this size. And then I heard differing opinions about what we want, so I decided we could just do both a t-shirt and a quarter zip. So you kind of just play for different, like,
Any questions for the health and housing chair or the PR chair? Sorry, open the floor for either chair. Questions, comments? Thank you. The rest of the chair saying.
The only new thing I have to add to this week is that after the master's conference that I was at this Saturday, I will be talking to some people from McAllister. They have an allies training program, which I think will be super beneficial for people, for students that are leaders on campus and are representing a group.
Questions or comments? Very interesting. Comments? Ombudsperson Svensson is at a therapist. I believe this should be her last attendance barrier here. Just because it's an attendance barrier of some sort, so I apologize.
She has the.
Oh, perfect. Beautiful. Told you that. Thank you.
Sorry.
Good. So for the ethics update, she said there are two candidate pairs currently for the co-preses. She is going to meet them tomorrow. To talk during chapel break and run this debate. And the debate will be on Friday, February 25th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the St. Peter Room. Also, the IC representative position is open, so she will send out the application tonight after the meeting. And the ethics committee will use the written bylaws time frame. And there is an ethics meeting this Friday. And then just started. Questions or comments? Or?
Thursday the 25th or Friday the 26th?
Just
the chair does not recommend.
sorry.
She told me the 25th of February.
That's a Thursday. So it'll be on Thursday.
Is that
right?
She told me 25th. So I'm going to say
25th. Yeah. it was on a Thursday.
We heard it in Canada that it was on a Thursday, but can you ask her to confirm that since you're really is on. Okay, any further questions or comments for the parliamentarian? Okay, seeing none, contingency update?
Yeah, so we're still kind of at a standstill. I know I got the text that I wanted Scott to send out to all the student organization leaders and treasurers. I'm not sure if it got sent out. I don't know if I'm on that list. Okay. So I'll check back in with Scott on that one and see when we can expect those due dates for the rescinded money from last fall. Otherwise, the contingency is still sitting at the $82,823. Again, one more time, that's $82,823.
Excellent. Any questions or comments for the controller? Any further committee update this week? Okay, seeing none, we should proceed on to unfinished. Our first order of unfinished business is to review our plan for office hours. As this proposal last year, it's on the screen here. Just as a matter of procedure here, we're going to treat this as though it's like this is a proposal that's just coming through again. We can modify this as you see fit on the screen, and then at the end we can also like vote to just scrap it and start anew. So if you vote down, I think then we'll just enter kind of a discussion on what we could do alternatively. Otherwise, we'll go through this with you're all free to just do your standard proposing amendments and all that, and we'll discuss those accordingly. So with that, we'll just start off with a moment just to kind of read the text and see if there's anything specific you'd like to review, and then we'll dig in to hear some good pros and cons of how this system went last semester too. Okay, with that, we'll open the floor for a discussion on the proposal as shown on the screen. It would be awesome if we could start off with some just general comments on how this went for you all as senators this last semester, so I'd really appreciate if a few of you could just share thought it was a good system or leave something to be desired. Let's start off with that. Senator Rose?
I thought it went really well last semester, and it was a good way for us to be open and be approachable.
Senator Miller?
I was just to echo us. Previous speaker. I thought it went really well, and I thought it worked a lot better than last year when we each had our own individual office hours. So I like how it, we did it last semester, and I'd like to do it again this semester.
Senator Sweet.
I want to say first, like, a few things we said in the cabinet, if that's okay. Kind of what we talked about was, I think the primary focus of the conversation was the time and the avenue in which we're alerting our constituents that were tabling at that time. And so kind of the conversation led to in cabinet, because we were talking about kind of, is that the best time to do it at, like high traffic. So like we figured that dinner time was kind of a good traffic area, and people who are off campus or live in Chapel View, don't eat in the cafeteria, whatever. Like that's when like practice, like sports practices are getting out, choirs getting out. So you, it's a higher likelihood that they're actually like in the campus center walking by. And so that was kind of where we got with that conversation. So I don't know if that was a concern that anyone had, but that was just kind of what we thought about it. And then for reaching out to your constituents, I know like I had the very first tabling shift last year, and I totally just slipped my mind to alert my constituents that I was going to do it then. And I'm sure that's happened for, maybe it hasn't, maybe I'm just not on my game. But like if that's happened to somebody else, I don't know if there's a better way to do it. One way I was thinking of doing it, because I think we get our times pretty far in advance, is sending them out in the monthly newsletter. Just like, these are the senators or representatives that are going to be tabling this month, if any of them represent you, because everyone has two, if that's a good way to do it. But that's just kind of what I was thinking, just to kind of ensure. And I think we should all send out an email, a personalized email anyway, but just to ensure that they're getting at least one contact. That was just kind of my idea for that. I yield.
Senator Lloyd.
Well, I feel free to speak, I'm a fan of it. The only thing I wanted to mention was that when I was tabling last semester, I did have a few, not necessarily my constituents, but students who approached me with concerns that Senate didn't cover. I'm not necessarily suggesting any solution to that. Just wanted that to be known. I yield.
Senator Glatch?
Well, I'm pretty sure I was the only dissenting vote last time, and I'm pretty sure I will be again, but I'm just, again, I don't think anybody should be able to tell me how I interact with my constituents, but you guys all heard it the first time. But I do think if we're going to pass this, I think the number 7 should be changed, because to make it more permanent, or change it to fall if we just want to kick the can down the road again. So probably change that to make it either permanent or change it to the fall. That's what I'm thinking. I yield.
Senator
Abraham. I mean, like I said during the attendance, I really liked it. I was able to meet with people I've never seen in Runstrom before. But one thing I kind of wasn't a fan of was, I'm an active person. I'm in sports and orchestra. And the 5 to 7 time doesn't work at all for me. I mean, a lot of you guys are active too. Just thinking maybe something like chapel break. I'm not proposing anything, but just kind of throwing that out there. See what people think about that. I yield.
Corey Dressman. Okay, in response to the previous speaker, I think it would be very smart to strike line 7. I'm kind of entertain a motion on that. And to kind of further that, it's either in our constitution or bylaws, I believe our bylaws, it says the co-presidents need to, at the beginning of the academic year, come up with a proposal for office hours for that year to be approved by the Senate. So if you think this is fantastic and should be put in our bylaws as a new office hour rule, then that would be one option. Otherwise, at the end of this year, if we go forward with this, then it'll just be recycled next year, and the new co-presidents will decide if they want to try this again or do something different. It was kind of made as an experimental bylaw last year, so it can be a yearly thing. If it works well, hopefully it's carried over. If it doesn't work well, we can start something new each year. So,
just a note on the procedure there. I'd recommend this, Chair, that if we do want to codify this as a bylaw and make this our annual system, it feels like that might be best to just do an additional discussion after deciding how we want to finish up this year, because it's just a task that co-presidents, we're just following up on it, presupposing currently we want to move ahead with it for the year. So again, just if we want to put this in the bylaws, I'd suggest perhaps moving that to a separate discussion rather than just this one about confirming it for
feel that it was really effective at generating conversation with students that otherwise normally wouldn't be drawn in to conversation with their representatives, which affords us a better view of what we can do here and how we're doing here. I do think that a previous speaker raised the point of that everything that gets brought to us isn't always for us, but that doesn't mean that we can't interact with it and see what we could do, or just try to inform them as we personally may know who else they could go to. I know my experience has been one of, it was a great way to gain new ideas for what we could do here in Senate. And I think we should continue with this style. For those who say that it's hard to make dowers or something, there is a way within this very program to create your own outreach. So I don't feel it limits, it just creates a standard. Yeah.
Further discussion, I would recommend that we do move to that a motion be entertained to strike item 7. Senator Hingham?
So moved.
Is there a second on this? Senator Sella, which is not for discussion on striking item 7 from the board. We're confirming. Is there any discussion on strike item 7? Chair, Speaker Speed.
The only thing I would offer as far as like making it a permanent bylaw is that this body may be very comfortable with it and like going out and just like talking to constituents, which is great. It's so great. And I have had a lot of positive feedback about this as well. But if next year's body like isn't as comfortable just like going there and sitting, and they want their own avenue of how to kind of go about talking to their constituents, I think that there should be that flexibility. And so like I would move to finish this out throughout the year because I've gotten positive feedback from my constituents about it. But I would just offer that not the body changes every year, and so does the Gativa student body. So like it doesn't shift, like it's not polar by any means, but it's like it'll still change and maybe other options can be explored in the future. Because I don't feel like there's one like super right way to do it, but I think there's a lot of good ways to do it. I'm going to yield.
Senator Dix?
I'd like to highlight that the striking number 7 doesn't mean this will continue forth into future years. This merely enables that to not be part of our proposition for the continuation of this year, which is a little bit silly as there won't be another spring this year. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion, we've seen none. We shall proceed to a vote. All those in favor of striking item 7 from this proposal, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Abstentions? So struck. We shall now arrange for discussion on the proposal as a whole with item 7 now removed. Further discussion on the concurrent proposal?
I just wanted to say that I think that I do like the idea. It is a standard. I like that there is flexibility in it. And as we've already talked about, we can change it next year, or the future can change it. So I think it's perfectly fine.
Further discussion on the proposal? Further discussion. Seeing none, we shall now move to a vote on confirming that we will continue with the office hours proposal as amended for the remainder of the 2015-2016 academic year. All those in favor of sticking with this, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Abstentions? The proposal remains. With that, we shall return to unfinished business. Our next item is Corporate Respite met with President Berman today just for our regular monthly meeting, and President Respite is going to provide a quick update on what we talked about.
It's been 2 months since we met with Becky, just because we didn't, the two of us weren't really around all January. Not a ton happened on the Senate over January, so we kind of took a reflective approach in our meeting today. We talked about a number of things. We discussed kind of big things that happened in the Senate throughout last semester, the 5 things that came up in cabinet that we're most proud of, and then we basically asked Becky what she has on her plate for the rest of the year and moving forward, and what she hopes we get out of the rest of the year. So just a couple quick things that we discussed, just a select few. She brought up parking on campus, asked if we'd gotten any positive feedback on the parking changes that happened over the summer, just adding one red row in the quad parking lot. We didn't think, or we've heard any negativity coming from students, so hopefully that helped with the parking. If you have heard negativity, you're thinking things need to change, please let us know. Visitation hours were mentioned at the Board of Trustees meeting. She quick just mentioned those, and she's eager to hear what comes of that and excited to see if anything changes. Handicap accessibility was another thing that was presented to the board, just quickly mentioned, and that is something that Sam and I are going to ask a committee to look into. Becky to ask to prioritize if there are a couple big areas on campus that need to be more handicap accessible. She'd love to know so she can do something about that. So that's something we need to work on or consider. Take your professor to lunch day was one of the five things that we had talked about from last semester, and she said that that was probably her favorite thing that she's seen Senate do this year over the last year and a half. So that was cool to hear how enthusiastic she was about that, and she hopes that's expanded moving forward. Lastly, she brought up Midnight Express and the Hill Crew as two kind of events, or I guess Hill Crew's organization, where she's seen a lot of school spirit and a lot of students getting together at one time. She thinks that's a very, very important thing in college, is having that school spirit, especially at a small school where you don't see thousands of students at a football game or basketball game every single week. And so we dug a little deeper on that, into the finances of that, and kind of wondered, is there any way that we can rightfully consider the student participation at events when we decide how much money to give certain organizations? Budgeting and finances is something that is really on a yearly basis looked at. How can we most fairly allocate money to different organizations? And obviously, what we think right now is best is the Constitution bylaws, because that's the rules that we've set forward for ourselves. So if anybody thinks that this is an important thing, or finance, hopefully we'll have a conversation about it. That's just something that came up in our discussion we thought is really interesting and intriguing question. That's kind of just the few main points I'd like to share.
So we'll start off with questions on any of those notes, and then if you think that the charges are appropriate for them, I'd probably ask that you hold off until new business. But just to clarify, so you just talked about parking, visitation hours, handicap accessibility, take professor to lunch, and then student engagement groups and how that ties in our funding process. So if you have any questions or comments on those, floor is now open for that. Senator Gledge?
I just had a comment, no questions.
No questions, comments are great too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I request no charges.
Okay. Yeah, don't worry. I think how the parking was changed was a really big thing, because College View had a big overflow all last year too. Other than their last year, and I was a senator there last year, and that was always a big complaint. And I think that's actually solved it, because I think a lot of the freshmen, the first years from co-ed, would the overflow would end up in College View and then push us somewhere else. And I think that's alleviated the problem. And I think it's I think that's made a big impact for my constituents.
So did you get a sense for what President Bergman's feelings were on current visitation hours policy, or where she wants to go with it?
I don't think it was, she didn't really give us her opinion on it. We'd asked if the board members really talked about it afterwards. She said there wasn't much. They were just interested in the concept. We were interested to see what students came up with through the survey.
Just a comment on the student participation. I'm a really big fan of that idea, just because peer assistants are the ones who host Midnight Express fall semester. That consists of a very large portion of our budget that we could be putting towards peer education, health education, a bunch of different events, or on campus or bringing speakers. So that's all. Thank you.
Further questions or comments at this point on those updates for President Bergman? Questions or comments? Seeing none, we should return to unfinished business. Is there any further unfinished business? Chair Osberg.
So last night I was, Student Academic Affairs Committee was charged with looking into the cost of adding another state finance vehicle. And after meeting with Carol Brewer, I feel I have adequate reason to, I guess, just information to share on that topic. And I don't have an exact cost, but I have reasons for why I do not have an exact cost. So essentially what has been found so far with the way that Safe Rides have been operating, already it's a struggle to staff the vans currently. So sort of a little bit of data on that, I guess, would be from September to January, service had to be suspended either early or late 14 times because of a lack of staffing of the current vehicle we have. Apart from that, there's also been a lot of damage to the current vehicle. This includes 3 accidents and a lot of interior damage. So that's also really costly. And then lastly, adding another Safe Rides vehicle would mean purchasing another van, paying for it to be screen printed, gas, a budget for repairs, and potentially a full-time position since they're already having trouble staffing current vehicles. So that's the update.
Great. Questions or comments on that? Is Senator Dix.
Having at one point in time in my college career driven the Safe Rides van, I think I have a little bit of epistemic authority here in that it goes through a phase of like 2 months where it's busy, and then there's like 4 months where you sit in the van for half the night just sitting there. And that indicates that while you know, want ebbs and flows throughout the year, mostly based on how cold it is outside. That for much of the year, you know, you would have a vast oversupply of availability, and the other part of the year, most people only have to wait about 20 minutes for a Safe Ride at worst. And it's not so bad a thing for how much it would cost with the whole cost of a new vehicle, insurance, all the students or full-time employee that you'd have to pay to drive that other vehicle. So yeah, I guess what I'm getting at is I think one vehicle is very, very fine for the situation we're in currently. It might be luxurious to go for a second.
Senator Glatch.
Yeah, I got to echo a lot what a previous senator talked about working the Safe Rides van. I also had the pleasure of being a Safe Rides driver. And there was, my first year, there was a consistent problem with people not showing up for work. And so you're always understaffed there. So I think everything that was presented here makes perfect sense, and I agree with the previous speaker. I really don't see any need for another Safe Rides vehicle.
Further questions or comments for Chair Osberg?
Questions or comments? Questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you for that update. With that, we'll return to unfinished business. Is there any further unfinished business? Unfinished business, unfinished business, unfinished business. Seeing none, we'll proceed on to new business. Is there any new business this evening? First Chair Singh.
So I'd just like to. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. I wrote it out. So. First of all, I'd like to clarify that this is not an attack. I'd like to review some of the definitions of diversity that we've gone over, I guess, in the fall. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, diversity is defined as the quality or state of having different forms, types, ideas, etc., or the state of having people who are a different race or who have different cultures in a group or organization. Some other definitions that I brought up were all means all from the Diversity Center and everything you are and everything you're not. Something that I brought up when I was being appointed to this position last year is that there are multiple aspects of diversity that go beyond physical diversity, and mental illness is one such example. Going back to our definitions, mental illness is an aspect of diversity because it is a characteristic that can set individuals apart from others. On our campus, mental illness is something we need to focus on, learn about, and advocate for the support of. Mental illness or any disability should not be used as an excuse for something not going the way you want it to. When utilized in this manner, I think it is an injustice to those individuals with such disabilities who work hard to manage their lives
take care of themselves, and be successful. Our job as students is to, one, take care of our health, physical, mental, and emotional. Two, get an education. As much as we might hate the grading system, we have to abide by it, as it is currently the best indicator of what we're learning. These two items must be prioritized. Only then should students look to join organizations and become leaders. This is a wide variety of leadership organizations. Greeters, CSPAs, and CAD being examples, require a certain GPA so that students take care of themselves before trying to help the school and other students. The GPA requirement for Student Senate is no different from those organizations mentioned earlier. It is based on the idea that if you are not maintaining the minimum GPA, then you might need to spend less time on extracurriculars and have more time for academics. With a position in Senate comes significant time commitment, as you all know, and for students struggling academically, it would not be good to ask them to prioritize anything over the main reason they are at college. Furthermore, if you are on academic probation, by definition, you are not in good standing with the college. Students on academic probation cannot participate in organizations mentioned earlier, internships, career explorations, study away programs, or in off-campus J-term interns. To reiterate, this is not an attack. This is an explanation of why the rules are what they are, how mental illness can be an aspect of diversity, and a reminder to take care of yourself.
Thank you. With that, this is unconventional here what I'm going to try and do, but because that's kind of a bigger topic referring to just the specific email that diversity chair is saying is referring to, it might be productive to stay on that topic should the speakers immediately after her be moving to other areas. So are there any objections to just temporarily opening the floor for questions, comments, and expansions on that topic as a separate item, and then we'll return to new business as in the order on the speakers list? Any objections to that? Objections. Seeing none, we shall do so. So now I'm just going to open the floor for questions, comments, and expansions on the topic that Diversity Chair Singh just brought up. And just to name it, I'm just referring to the resignation email of the representative from International Center, in which they just talked about how they just called out some criticism of Student Senate for working to be more diverse, you know, diversity-friendly and equitable organization, but perhaps missing opportunity to do so in standing by expectations on academic performance for membership. With that, Senator Dix.
I think the statement that was just shared with us by the speaker made some assumptions that might not be resonated across the whole student body or even our group here today, namely among them, that by not being able to serve their students, it might further their ability to do their academics, when I would like to argue that that might precisely be not the case. Many people find great energy and purpose in helping others, and that can drive them forth in that pursuit and in others in a way that when they lack those opportunities, they suddenly feel without motive. Particularly people with mental illness can struggle with that, depression. Things like serving others can be their light of day that gets them through it. So I wanted to challenge that point. Secondarily, I wanted to also state that I think what we all received was a very personal response, and that don't let the personal nature of it cloud the principled argument that may lie beneath, that people in all sorts of different situations can bring different points of view to what should be a body that represents everybody here. And that can be very important.
Further comments, questions, or expansions on that point? Seeing none, thank you for permitting that. We shall now return to new business. Sure.
So I have a second thing. interactions with the private colleges that are in Minnesota. So one of those things that I brought up earlier was an ally training program that McAllister has, which is something that I would look into bringing to Gustavus. There was at St. Olaf a sustained dialogue program. So at Gustavus, we seem to struggle with a lot of subjects like having demonstrations for the Black Lives Matter movement, for example. We brought that conversation up, we had the discussion, we had the forum, but what now? Like, it's hard for us to continue that conversation, not only with that topic, but with that dust from a couple of years ago. So that was something that was brought up that I thought was really good. It was interesting to hear the different types of formats that they have at the Dollar Schools for how they elect or appoint their student senate. I think ours is the best way so far. So yeah, I think if you have any questions about what else you learned from that, please come to me, Senator Anderson, Senator Stolt, and our administrative director and Senator Muganga, who are all there. Nanga.
Yeah, on a slightly different note, I would like to bring back up the point about looking into attendance and budgeting. I'm going to make this as ethical as possible because I am the treasurer of the peer assistants, so I know quite affectionately how the budget works for them. It ties up quite a significant amount of our budget, and we cannot be budgeted more because of bylaws and so forth. And so I think it would be really quite imperative to look into that, because we love hosting it, but it does take out 4,500 of the 20,000 we're budgeted. So immediately some of our programming that we would like to do, we cannot do. And so I think I'm going to charge the Finance Committee with looking into looking into attendance and how that factors into budgeting for various organizations, not just the peer assistance.
I'm just going to ask, does that charge make sense as stands for your perspective? Okay, with that, is there a second on charge? Second goes to Senator Lewing. We should now enter a discussion on the charge. Finance Committee look into how it considers attendance in its budgeting procedures. With that, Senator Hinnicknap, the floor is currently yours.
Yeah, so I said mostly what I wanted to say, but and I'm not going to try to sway anyone either way because I am the treasurer of the peer assistants. But I will say, as I said, it does tie up a significant part of our budget, and we really do want to promote other issues as well. So,
Senator Gladish?
Yeah, I'm fine with looking into this, but I just want to say that any money that we would end up shifting to, you know, any other group if we considered attendance is going to be taking away from other organizations. We don't have an unlimited amount of money we can just hand out. So any other organization's gain is going to be the loss of other organizations. I yield.
Senator Lewing?
I guess I'm not the treasurer for peer assistance, so I know that we have a lot of programming that we want to do that, I guess I might be biased, so take this as you will, highly benefits the entire campus. However, I am aware that, as a previous speaker said, I caution against this being like a number game where we just send money to whoever brings in the biggest crowd, because that doesn't seem super ethical to me. However, how does one balance that with what creates the biggest impact on campus, I guess, is a very viable question. I'm glad I yield.
Speaker Sweet.
I guess I just have a question. Hasn't CAB funded it in the past, or has it always been peer assistance? Jonas.
That was why I got on the speaker's list, and in case you didn't know, that at least in the last five or so more years, the event has been funded one semester through the PAs and one semester through the Campus Activities Board. And so CAB budget, as you know, or don't remember, is taken from the split of student activities fees. So the event both semester is funded by student activities fees. It's just that one time it comes through Senate's portion of it and one time it comes through CAB's portion of it. I guess there's nothing magical about it having to be a CAB or a Senate-sponsored event, other than that those two entities tend to have a significant amount of flexibility with their dollars that much of the rest of the college doesn't. Yeah, that was. I just wanted to say that.
Excellent. With that, is there any further discussion on the charge to Finance Committee? Further discussion. Seeing none, we shall move to a vote on charging Finance Committee to look into how it uses attendance at events in the budgeting consideration for Finance Committee recommendations. All those in favor of this exploratory charge, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Abstentions? So charged. With that, we shall return to new business. Senator Finkamp, the floor remains yours.
I yield.
Senator Abweed.
Yeah, so this kind of ties in into the whole campus safety work. So during February, during break, a lot of my constituents were stuck in a storm, and there's no safe way of traveling around campus. It was really cold and windy, and they even contacted campus safety, and campus safety said that they will not help them get to other places around campus. So I want to charge student academic and affairs into looking, like, during breaks or safe rides are not working, into like figuring out an alternative method for students to move around campus. There's a few of them, so it shouldn't be a huge burden on the campus, but at the same time, if we are actually concerned about the safety of our students, we should be really looking into that.
Is your second on charge? Second goes Senator Rose. With that, we shall enter discussion on charging Student Academic Affairs Committee with looking into providing safe transportation for students who are on campus during breaks. Is that correct?
Yeah.
With that, we shall enter discussion. Senator Abu, the floor is yours. With that, the floor is now open for discussion. Discussion. Senator Dix.
Having some insight on how this works, I think that the direction that I might suggest they look would be something towards getting officers who are on campus to provide emergency transportation in case of something such as a blizzard, mostly because to pay staff for a whole week, because you need to have them always there to respond at any point in time outside of the normal scheduling, which we always do have an officer on campus, might be excessive.
Can I tweak something that you just said, Brandon?
Yeah.
I think when on campus, when we refer to emergencies, like campus safety would provide 24/7 emergency assistance during breaks when the college is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a word somewhere between when it's cold out and when it's an emergency that you could find to use in your language.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but...
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking that as a dispatcher, when we take calls and stuff, even over breaks, like, if someone's hurt, obviously, like this will help, right? But, like, the snow's getting kind of deep and it's cold outside, probably won't. That's a call by the officer and the dispatcher at the time. Just how bad it is, right? That make it clear that, like, in whatever cases, that does happen.
And then... when the college is closed, dispatch doesn't dispatch.
Kind of. We had when it's closed, no. But over touring break.
Because you're talking about it's closed.
No, he just brought up touring break.
That was one line.
Yeah. So
okay.
Over touring break, I believe safe rides didn't run, but dispatch was still open.
Yeah.
We worked those hours. So we were just taking calls and stuff, but there was no one there to man the vehicle, because that's kind of a different campus safety splits into now, as far as students go. We've got the people who drive the car, people who field calls and send out messages to officers.
Senator Hammond.
I was here over touring break, and I agree with everything a previous senator said. Well, I'd like to amend it a little and add in looking into getting the roads plowed, maybe. Because
over
like touring break and
No, I want to get on the speakers
okay.
list because I just feel like I don't want to just keep talking out of turn. So.
All right. Is there a so the amendment would be to add on to that motion of both providing rides to add on plowing during breaks in which there are still students on campus.
Yeah.
Is there a second on that amendment, Senator Abouid? Second. So with that, we should now enter discussion on the proposed amendment. Senator Haven, the floor is yours.
Yeah. I mean, this shouldn't take too long. People use the roads over breaks, like touring break. I had to run on those roads and could have twisted an ankle, so I yield.
Imagine that.
So I'm a little bit out of my realm of responsibility because road plowing belongs to physical plant and campus safety reports through me, but my understanding is that with the exception of when the college is closed, which is actually very rare, it's during the semester break, during Christmas holidays, that the rest of the time the college has employees that do plow. It's just that they may not be plowing at the times that you want to run. So they tend to come to campus at 4 in the morning and plow, but then they tend not to like to come back to campus at 4 in the afternoon to plow again. So when there are fewer students on campus, like touring week, then they're not as likely to be scheduled for kind of what I would think of as more round-the-clock plowing. They might be more plowing just one time a day. So that might have been, I don't know if that's what you were experiencing, but and definitely we have challenges with plowing when the college is closed, i.e. December 25th, because no employees really want to work then, but some have to and some do because we have students who live on campus. Yeah.
The school year, we plow it every day, but what I noticed was, it was always the same road. It was the one by the music building. That way, for multiple days, it was unplowed. And you had cars going through there, and it was just, it's an unsafe.
So you feel like it was just like a crappy job of plowing?
It wasn't plowed.
Like Ring Road?
On the outside, at least, that's what I saw.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they accidentally missed it or something. This is just a one-time thing, but, I mean, it's just an information. We're looking into it. I'm not asking for...
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
I would say also, just now and just randomly, like, if you ever notice that there are portions of Ring Road that aren't plowed, you should definitely call campus safety and share that information with them because they're the best situated to call physical plant into campus, and the campus considers Ring Road like a crucial piece to people's health and safety, i.e. ambulances coming in and those kinds of things. So,
Senator Haven, are you yield?
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Gladish.
I'm fine with this being like an exploratory thing, but I think we need to recognize what winter is in Minnesota, and it's not convenient, and really unless, like if there's a blizzard going on, you probably shouldn't be moving anyway. Unless you need an ambulance or something, you shouldn't be moving, because you should stay where you are, and that's the point of the blizzard. Well, that's not the point of the blizzard, but that's what you should do if you want to survive the blizzard. And, I'm fine with looking into this, and I definitely think there's a point in between a blizzard and it just being really cold. And I like where the original motion was. But I feel like this amendment just goes into looking into just luxuries. I yield.
Senator Lee?
Just to echo previous speaker, I think a lot of the roads were not even plowed during break. I mean, I personally had to walk through them to Chapelview because campus safety wouldn't drive me. And a lot of my friends who were trying to get into their dorms were not, in College View and other dorms, were not getting access to this. And that full road during a blizzard at like 8 p.m. trying to get to those places, it was unsafe. I was really cold and it's not fun to be there.
And again, you're talking touring week.
yeah.
Not Christmas break.
Yeah, during week.
Okay.
I mean, it would be fine if we look into like most of the breaks, what they could do about it, but the least they could do, like some students have commitments during those breaks, like work, research, other sports, and they live in different places on campus, and it's really cold, and it's snowing a lot outside. I don't think we can send about the safety of those students, that they should, I think there should be a way of them getting safe to wherever they live on campus.
Take your seat.
Mine has more to do with the original discussion, so
Senator David.
So I was here for touring week as well, and from what I experienced, the roads are plowed, but there's definitely controversy on that, I understand. I get that a blizzard, like, you should stay inside to survive, but at the same time, I understand what Abuid is saying. Like, people need to get to the cafe to get food if they have meal plans. That is, like, you need food to survive even in a blizzard. But then also, like, having work responsibilities, and, like, blizzards are a thing in Minnesota, so not all works, like, recognize, like, oh, it's a blizzard, I can't drive in every day. So, like, I get that, but I do not agree that a snowplow should be amended onto this. I think they go different routes. Snowplows have to do with physical plant, and the original had to do with campus safety. So I think that doesn't belong in the same thing. For me, that just doesn't make sense.
Senator Dix?
Yeah, on the same nature, I was here over touring break, and, well, there were some snow on the ground, in the streets. I didn't find it a big deal. I was, grew up in Iowa, drive through snow sometimes. It happens. But overall, it seemed like it was plowed all right from my experience. But also that I do feel that this amendment should really be either a separate charge or another discussion where it does diverge in nature. That one is about getting students just safely through campus at times where it's somewhere between really bad and kind of winter. And the plowing thing is a general maintenance idea that I think is supposed to be working, but maybe didn't work as well. It doesn't require the institution new policy or looking into changes on campus, more so just make sure what we have working is working.
Unless the Senate thinks that these should go to two different places, given the flexible nature of charges, it really doesn't matter if they're together or not. Our cabinet will treat it as two different items, no matter if it's one charge or two charges. So I'm worried about that.
Further discussion the amendment? Further discussion the amendment? Further discussion the amendment? Seeing none, we shall move to a vote on whether or not to add an investigation about road plowing over to the training breaks when the campus is not still closed altogether to all students. All those in favor of the proposed amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Division.
Division has been called. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your placards nice and high. All those opposed? Abstentions. The ayes have it. The amendment passes. We should now return to discussion on the amended motion. Senator Haberman, the floor is yours.
I yield.
Senator Gledge.
Well, yeah, pretty much just had already said what I was going to say. I mean, this is fine. It's just exploratory, so let's just get it done.
Advisor Jones.
I just wanted to share that there have been occasions when we've had not necessarily blizzards, but extreme prolonged cold temperatures where campus safety has added safe rides during the day and in extended hours. So I don't think that campus safety is opposed to wind chill factor kinds of things. I think blizzards might be another challenge. I know that campus safety in the past has specifically pulled safe rides off of the road during blizzard conditions for the safety of the drivers. So, just FYI.
Is there any further discussion on the amended motion charge? Further discussion. Seeing none, we shall move to a vote. All those in favor of charging the amended item to the Student Academic Affairs Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Abstentions. so charged. With that, we shall return to new business. Senator Abouy, the floor remains yours.
Thank you.
Speaker Sweet.
Okay, so some of my constituents came to me with this concern, and it has to do with off-campus too, so you guys can chime in. I was talking to some of my constituents, and it has to do with parking, because primarily people who are off-campus go to park and back, but I get here at 8:30 or 9, and there aren't any spots, so that's just my experience with it. And I remember last year, I think we may have talked about this, and Co-President Goldstein had said that I think his first year or sophomore year, they maybe had, and Jonas, but you speak to this too, they had commuter parking, and it was a different color and whatever. But something else that I've noticed that a lot of students from Chapelview and Arborview, which I get because those are pretty far away, but in College View as well, drive over to Beck and park in there. And I don't want to say what's fair or what's not fair because I don't know everyone's individual circumstance, but if I'm paying the same amount as someone who lives on campus for a spot that I use maybe 4 or 5 days a week, then I should get a park, I shouldn't have to park in the ARB every day, which I pretty much do. But I was going to ask to charge health and housing or student academic affairs. I don't really know which one it falls best under, but probably student academic affairs. Okay. With looking into getting some sort of commuter parking, just because the parking situation is a little out of control for the off-campus community, which is primarily seniors at this moment. I yield.
Excellent. With that, we've by through Jonas.
I just want to say, who do you love the most? Because you cannot make everybody happy when it comes to parking, and so as a Senate, you may have to decide who you love the most in order to provide feedback to Carol Brewer about who she should love the most.
Is that a formal motion to have a senator only parking?
You do whatever you think is in your best interest.
Okay. Sorry, was there a...
Yeah, I said just move to have student academic affairs look into some sort of commuter parking option.
And the second that goes Senator Miller, and then you immediately yield the floor?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now I'll...
Sure.
Sorry, I lost track of that. So we're now on discussion on the parking director affairs, Senator Dix.
Right. As my job as a dispatcher, I'm probably going to hate me if I say this, I'm also the person who initially highlights your tickets and looks at what you did wrong. This then gets moved on to someone much more powerful than I. But I'm where it starts, and what we see in almost every ticket is someone say, I could not get the parking spot I wanted, whether this is in the Aurelius lot or over behind Beck, or even in some cases College View. So I decided to park in X place I'm not supposed to, is how it goes. But what this highlights is that it's a problem for a lot of people, and all what you're buying guarantees you is that there's a spot somewhere on campus where you can park. That is all you're buying with your little sticker that says, my car can be here. So there's a spot somewhere on the whole campus where I can be. And if we create a new subset, it'll probably increase the efficiency of parking, where you have a larger group of people that park under one type. It's more likely that that's fully filled to capacity rather than you break it down into smaller and smaller groups. So I think in the current manner, it serves the most of us the best it can as far as that goes. And sadly, now this causes issues for some people. I think that the true fix is more parking, right? But going down this alley just decreases efficiency parking and long-term makes it harder for more people. So I don't know if I support this.
Co-President Rasmussen?
Yeah, I just want to mention, it may be the only spot on campus that does it, but I know the back parking lot is technically considered commuter parking. That's how it's made for. Day parking lot, you can't park there all night. I learned by finding one of those tickets online. But once, if this does pass, I would challenge the Student Academic Affairs Committee to look into really what is the fairest way to go about that. Because, how can you closer to campus. It's just kind of the same thing that you might have to consider.
I just want to say that I am currently 4 for 5 on trying to park in Beck and not being able to this year, living off campus. And I've had to park in the Arb/Matson parking lot most days, which is, I don't mind doing that during the spring. I don't even mind doing it during warmer days in the winter. But I know last week there were a couple freezing cold days, and it just is a nuisance for off-campus people to have to park there to get to their classes and back. And I know, as you said, President Rasmussen, or a previous speaker said, that Beck is kind of designed as that commuter parking to not park overnight. I have friends that live in Complex that I know would like to park in Complex, and I've driven through Beck in the morning and seen their cars there as they drive from Complex to Beck to park for their classes. So I kind of support the idea of a commuter-only parking. I don't know, like, the logistics of it or the specifics, but I definitely think it's something worth looking into.
Senator Lambert?
I just have a question. So does everybody that lives off campus have to pay the same?
Mm-hmm.
You pay the same price?
Yes, exactly.
So are you looking into, like, getting a different price for that as well, or just only like new parking spaces for you guys to have spaces?
I would pay a lot of money to guarantee a spot in Beck. I guess cost doesn't matter so much to me. It's more so what a previous speaker said about people from Complex, like, parking their cars there overnight or driving over to Beck, just because, like, I don't live, like, right off the hill. I live a little bit farther away, so I do have to, like, drive pretty much every day, and so it is like inconvenient. It's, and I know this is like talking about like luxuries again, but like the fact that I have the same parking pass as everyone else, but those people park there all the time, and I'm just looking for a spot for like 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
That is the frustrating part of it. And this isn't just me. This is like all a bunch of my constituents that I've talked to, nearly all the seniors that I've talked to who live off campus.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that was just a question. Hey, young.
Glitch.
So I want to remind everyone that this is just exploratory, so if you think it's a good idea to look into, then we can push it forward, because this isn't actually changing anything. This is just researching it.
Senator Nelson?
I think with being an off-campus student, you know, it can be frustrating to not get a spot and, you know, have to park in different places. Farther away than you'd like, but I would feel better, I guess, if it was not different spaces, but a different initial thing. So since we are technically commuting, having a commuter price, because then, you know, if it's inconvenient, that's inconvenient, it's part of it, but it'd be still something that would be helped out in some way, so that it wouldn't be quite as, we wouldn't feel equal, I guess is what I'm saying. If that makes sense, you can ask questions.
Senator Tate?
So I'm fine with this being exploratory and going ahead, but at the same time, I think it should just be kind of pointed out, like, as a commuter, if you live off campus, that's kind of like a privilege. You get to live off campus, you have to apply to that, you have to be selected, that's cool and wonderful, and commuting is a hassle and it sucks, and I would love if you could have your own parking spot, but at the same time, that's going to take away from either green stickers or red stickers or other people and cut that down. And I can definitely tell you, as a red sticker who works most nights and gets back to campus around 1 a.m., 2 a.m. on a regular basis, I have to park in the Arb almost every night and walk all the way across campus, no matter what temperature, to get to Complex because there are no parking spots. I get it. It really sucks. And I don't even live off campus. But just, like, recognizing that, like, no matter what we do, parking is going to be a problem on such a small campus with so many people that have cars. So, like, I'm fine with it being exploratory, but just, like, it's going to be a problem, so, like, I yield.
Senator Anderson.
I think I'm just going to end up echoing what the previous speaker just said, but I live in Co-Ed, and I've parked in the Arb multiple times, and it's going to happen, and I think, oh, no, I have to park in Matson. You have to walk just as far as someone who lives in Prairie View. So I understand the desire. I think that you know, I'm not sure how you would be able to realistically do that, and I'd be very open to hearing an idea for it, but having a different color or something in Beck, I think maybe would cause issues later at night when you're not here, but say someone from far away wants to drive because they have an intramural game in Lund at 9:30. So I think that I'm not sure how you would do it. I yield.
In response to something that a previous speaker just said, don't ask to come double check my facts on this, but isn't it like at like 5 o'clock you like technically like red stickers can park in green or and stuff like that?
There's some time, I don't know when it is.
That's a thing.
And then
But not over.
But then you have to be out by a
certain
time as well. Right. So if you're a red sticker coming back in the middle, if you're a red sticker who wants to drive over to Campus Center or Lund, that totally works. But if you're a red sticker who wants to park all night long in green, then you're going to get a ticket.
Right. So that was just kind of in response to, like, if you're driving up for a night to, like, work out at 9 o'clock or whatever, you can park in the faculty lot or in the commuter lot. That's not a big deal and shouldn't be an issue. This, I just want it to be exploratory just because it's an issue that, you know, X a number of people, a part of our student body, have experienced. And that's why I want to look into it. Because I think that, I've been late to work, I've been late to class, I've been late to meetings because of this. And so have my constituents. And I think it's just something that we need to look into because it's going to alleviate a lot of stress and hassle in our lives. And I think that that's part of what student senate should do, is to make our lives easier. So I yield.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to say I apologize if I came across as opinionated or biased in my first statement. I just wanted to add another piece of the conversation. And in addition to that, I'm pretty sure that there used to be different colored parking stickers or lots. So if this does pass, I would recommend you look into why that changed or when or how.
Senator Dix.
So on that topic, I had that exact conversation with my boss about 3 weeks ago when we had a funky color question about some old stuff that we got. There was an old system that was changed mostly due to inefficiency was what I was given the answer of. Everyone struggles for parking almost, unless you live in like Southwest or Prairie View, because that's the side of campus that no one wants to park on, right? And you just happen to live there. Point being is that I think the true solution that actually helps everybody, right, is more parking, but we can't afford to do that as a body. So we can look into this, but I think that's what our answer is going to be.
I'm now working hard on my old memory, but I'm pretty sure that 4 years ago the Student Senate looked into this issue of the problem with the commuters taking all the good parking and recommended to campus safety that you go to having just a student permit and employee permit, and I'm pretty sure that that's what happened to the gold permits and why they went away, because students, motivated by Student Senate and it's looking into it, did away with it. That said, I think it's fantastic that every generation of Senate should once again try to solve the circle of parking.
I'm singing, I want to get part of this song.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that it came out of the Student Senate as a parking problem issue. And thus, commuter parking went away.
Excellent. Further discussion on the charge?
Yes, I got
to look into the Senate Grand Fair's committee's vote. Commuter parking, I think it's pretty exploratory and broad. So. Okay, any further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, I should move to a vote. All those in favor of charging, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Abstentions? So charged. With that, we should turn to new business. Speaker seat, the floor remains yours. Further new business? Seeing none, we should move to announcements. Announcements, Senator Rhodes.
On behalf of Solvay, she wants me to tell you to get your tickets for the musical Love, Labor's Lost, and students get one free ticket, she'd like to remind you, and the dates that she performs are the 20th, the 26th, and the 28th, so go support her.
Administrator Perez.
Yeah.
qualify to do so. I yield.
Promising a goal. Yeah, Solway messaged me back. She said, yes, it is on Thursday.
So this is becoming a weekly announcement, but the PAs are again hosting something. This Friday we are hosting bingo, so please come along. It'll be at 9:30 p.m. It should be a great time. There are fun prizes to be won. Don't worry, we're not financing through our Senate budget. Furthermore, the PA applications are also out, so if you feel compelled to be a PA or a grader, you can turn in both. You have to choose one in the end, but you can turn in both. So yeah, are you?
I'm shocked that Senator Hennekamp didn't just say this, but tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in the Dive is EPI awareness event around bystander intervention, and maybe more importantly to all the rest of you, free pizza. So, you know, always good for pizza in the Dive at 7. And then seems almost impossible that you would have missed this, but speaker on campus tomorrow for a workshop, 2:30 to something five, Dr. Butler, and it sounds like she's supposed to be amazing, so I highly, highly recommend that you go around issues of diversity, equity, inclusion.
Myself, I just wanted to point out the crazy tragedy that, like, we were just talking about how, like, parking has been an issue this year, and then all of a sudden, boom, but actually did want to applaud that in that conversation, we had people talking about their constituents really accurately and passionately. So that's just like, that's a great example of how you can speak from your perspective, how you can have people disagreeing very sharply on the best outcome for the student body, but still speak from the perspective of, like, bringing that back to their constituents. I just want to applaud all the senators for that conversation for earnestly trying to bring forward the interests of their constituents, because that's how representative government works, I guess. So cool.
Co-president applications were due earlier today. Voting is on the 29th, I believe, so hopefully you reach out to those who are running and vote on who is overthrow Sam and myself. That's all I have.
Chair Singh.
So I'm just going to echo what Jonas said about the speaker that's coming to campus tomorrow. Her talk, I guess, is called Understanding White Culture as a 21st Century Leadership Skill. So join us in Alumni Hall from 2:30 to 5 p.m. for an interactive session led by Dr. Shuckley Butler, which will help participants understand racial inequality. Participants will build strategies that address racial and socioeconomic barriers that relate to history, identity, and culture. Also, this Thursday from 4:30 to 6, in the Dive is a hashtag Ask a Muslim question and answer panel. I'm going to be on the panel. I'm not Muslim, but I'm Sikh, and we often get confused. So you should come check that out and ask some questions. And then after that, from 7 to 8:30, is a panel for building bridges in a one-night hall. And you should all come to that. And then one last thing, I brought this up like three times now, but for the math thing, I was driving back, and all of a sudden, we were in my car, and I was in the right lane, and then a woman in a truck carrying a bunch of stuff in, like, in the back of the truck was driving in front of us a little ways, and a giant rock, like, flew across the road, and we almost all died, but thank God to my, like, awesome driving skills, I, like, barely swerved, and we made it home safely.
Isn't that why there's a rule that more than two senators aren't allowed to drive in the same car?
I had all of them.
I just wanted to restate the point that blizzards don't actually exist to keep people inside. they exist for other reasons. Okay, are you home?
Excellent. Any announcements? Announcements?